two men collide. Rival nations. It's a primitive clash, venting years of frustration. Guess what I'm trying to say is that if they can change, then you can change, and we can all change. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, so I was texting. Are we starting, are we?
Sexting.
You.
Go.
Hi. Right, let's do the intro. Okay, good luck. You ready? Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of our weekly podcast, the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Oh, excuse me, I'm Tom Shanklin.
Okay, fella boy.
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. It's you I'm worried about.
I mean, the sound might be slightly different today, ladies and gentlemen, because...
It's not going to be a lot worse, is it?
No, it's not going to be a lot worse, but we are in the Celtic manor and there's absolutely nothing, no room or anywhere we can do it, is there? So we've jumped in at Merlin's bar.
We're in a wicker chair in the bar, aren't we?
We are. A little bit of background noise. A couple of ladies having a coffee. I mean, you know, if you listen to this, pop over, say hello.
Yeah, if you're hearing us. I mean, a bar is my natural environment because I'm an absolute bloody lad.
Not that we're coming out live or anything like that.
No, we're not. It doesn't work, does it, that? I mean, I say a bar's my natural environment. I don't actually like smashing pints that much.
No, you're not a big necker of pints either,
no,
are you?
No, I like a drink, but to be honest, I prefer...
What's your tipple?
A couple of pints and then moving on to like red wine for a couple of hours round a dinner table while there's food and then G&T's because I'm a grown-up, I'm not like you.
My dad's like that as well.
Yeah.
He likes a couple of pints and then some red wine.
But I don't want to generalise here, but you're Welsh and Welsh are generally the same as English football fans, aren't they? It's like swilling pints.
You're not even 40 yet, mate, and you're already... Two pints in, bottle of red.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, you had a busy week, boy?
It's been busy enough, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, before we start, did you know it's National Wool Week?
What week?
National Wool Week.
As in sheep?
As in wool, the material.
Yeah, but wool, okay. What? Okay, National Wool Week.
For 2 weeks it's going.
Wow.
I thought you'd be interested because you wear a lot of tweed.
It's like... Yeah. Like I got my cashmere jacket on, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's nice to see you out of a brown jacket.
I look quite trendy, don't I? Do you know why? I've had a kit delivery from my kit sponsor.
Oh, right.
Not them, hang on. My kit sponsor, mate. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can.
Don't mention any brand names because...
I won't do.
You know, but...
Because Philip Knight wouldn't yeah. like it. Is he still alive?
As far as I know, he didn't send me the stuff.
Okay, all right.
But you like my new trainers as well. Socks, same brand. Pants I'm wearing, by the way, same brand. T-shirt, hoodie.
I just gave you a pair of trainers as well.
You
didn't even need them.
Same brand. It's not about need, is it? It's about want.
Okay. Yeah, okay? Fair enough.
So, you know, even in retirement, I'm getting elite kit deliveries, yeah?
You're actually getting more now than when you played.
Yeah. It's because every season that goes by, people, I reckon, forget how average you were and you get better and better. One kid came up to me the other day, no joke, and he was like, can I have a picture with you? I said, yeah, sure, at a game. And his dad was like, you're his hero. He goes, yeah, you're my favourite player. And he was a really cute kid and he was really nervous. And I said, how old are you, mate? He said, I'm 10. I said, I retired when you were 5. Like, can you remember me? He looked at me like, nope. But he convinced himself I was his favourite player.
I probably get more... Say people, younger boys come up saying, oh God, my dad, my mum loved you.
Yeah.
Can you sign this for him?
It's a bloody shame, isn't it?
Yeah, no problem, I'll sign a tissue for him.
Yeah, it's a bloody shame, isn't it?
Just a little, mate, I've been watching a bit of TV this week, and obviously Strictly's on. I did not know Reverend Richard Coles was in the Communards.
Okay, let me start by saying this. I don't know who Reverend Richard Coles is, and I don't know what the Communards is.
The Common House was Jimmy Somerville.
Was it his band?
Yeah.
Your band?
Yeah, my band.
What was the song they did? Oh,
Don't Leave Me This Way.
Yeah. Leave Me This Way. That was you.
It.
Yeah,
don't
amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Communards.
Yeah.
And Reverend
Richard Cole, he's on Strictly at the moment. He's just got voted off, actually.
So he's not on Strictly at the moment?
No. You might still see him, though.
He's crying himself to sleep again.
Yeah. But he was in the Communards. I never knew that.
Oh, right. That is good to know, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of.
A little bit of knowledge.
I must say, I've never watched Strictly. When Matt Dawson was on it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I watched a few when Dawson was on it because I felt like he's a really nice man, so I better support it. But even then, I'll be honest with you, mate, I just can't. I just.
Do you watch Crime Watch?
I cannot watch Strictly and I cannot watch X Factor. I physically can't watch them anymore.
What about Crime Watch? Do you watch that?
I like a bit of Crime Watch, yeah.
It's not as good as it used to be, is it?
It's just nice. It's just nice to check up on the kids, isn't it?
See what they're up to. No, but not too busy, mate. I mean, I did a good Q&A on Thursday.
Q&A?
Q&A.
Like Lee Byrne,
with
you
want
to know. Q&As.
No, I emceed it. So I wasn't. I
you
was
run
tings, hosting it.
You running things, was it?
Yeah, it was for St James's Place, and it was in a restaurant called M Restaurant in Victoria.
Is that Simon Shaw's place?
No, it's not. He's got one in Twickenham.
Yeah,
but I never knew that restaurant existed. I've driven past there loads.
No, okay. Is it nice? I haven't been there.
It is nice. Yeah.
What do they do? A bit of steak? Is that what they do in there?
I didn't look at the full menu, but we had steak.
Of course
and
you did.
No, I didn't.
Of course you did. I said.
Yeah.
What? You're all right.
And but they had a nice little room out the back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was like the Great Gatsby sort of.
Yeah, with the sex chandelier and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Sounds all right.
But it was good.
I'm literally going to go to that restaurant and eat food.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you really going?
I'm really going. I'm actually going in 2 weeks to Shawsey's place in Twickenham.
Okay, yeah. Well, he was there, actually.
Yeah.
He was there. He had bruises all over his face. Apparently, it was the a digger.
He headbutted a digger, didn't he?
A digger or a driller, yeah. Girl. It was either that or walked into a door. I mean, you can't tell people you missed
a
beat.
They walked into a door frame.
Yeah.
If it's Shawsey. Shawsey's one of those guys that he's massive, like he's freaky big, isn't he?
Huge.
And his face is smashed to fuck.
It's like Sylvester Stallone's face, isn't
it? Yeah, mate, he looks nothing like he looked 15 years ago. Nothing like, completely like mangled face, but manages to be really, really good looking with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's like someone needs to get a couple of fish hooks in his face and just lift it up. And then give it a good iron.
Yeah, but he looks smashed to bits, but he looks amazing with it.
But and yeah, so he was there.
And he always looks slick. His clothes are always good. Like,
he was sharp. There. He had some flares on. I think they were flares.
Yeah.
Trying to tell him about tapered trousers. Serge Betson was there.
It's not easy when you're 6'10". Now, that's a battered face. Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's someone else. Serge Betson, lovely man. Yeah.
Yeah. Kenny Logan.
Yeah.
Rob Howley. And Roger Utley.
Oh, awesome.
The 1974 British Lion, and also he coached England. Two separate occasions.
We were filming a live link the other day, and Roger Utley walked past and pinched my arse and smacked Mark Durden-Smith on the arse and knocked us out of shot on the camera. I quite like that.
Yeah.
I quite like it, the old lads do that.
69-year-old bloke, just still
right,
giving
you
a bit
this.
Of a...
Five people, was it all at once?
Yes, it was.
That's how I'd work, mate.
Yeah, it is. Especially when you had one mic between them as well.
Did you?
So I was asking the questions
them.
And then... Yeah.
Between them is
okay,
two, okay?
Fine,
amongst
yeah.
Amongst these big... Okay.
So...
That is... I'm about to say how many mics do you have.
I would ask a question and give probably Kenny the mic because he always likes to chip in.
Kenny should have just had his own mic all night.
Definitely.
That you could turn on and off.
But it's good. They were... we had four rugby legends and Kenny Logan.
Yeah.
but it was a good mix, right? Because obviously Shawsey is quite funny. Kenny Logan's quite funny. Rob Howley was very insightful.
Was he?
Yeah, so my first question to Rob was, you went on two Lions tours, 97 and 2001.
Yeah.
You coached Wales when they've won two Grand Slams.
This is my question so far.
A rugby championship.
It's a series of statements.
I'm laying the foundations.
Okay.
And you've been on three Lions tours where you narrowly lost to South Africa, you beat Australia, drew against the world champions. My question is,
yeah,
what's happened between you and Sean O'Brien's missus?
yeah, what have you done?
Yeah, what
have you got on him?
Been up to your old tricks again. I said that was obviously a joke. I was just laying that in.
So, yeah, was he kind of insightful about that, or did he just bat it off?
I don't want to explain too much about it because it's obviously a Q&A between those four walls there. But he was gutted by it.
You've brought it up, so don't bring it up and then not tell us.
He was a little bit gutted by it. But really good, real good chat about having to, you know, drop Ben Teo for the second test and that partnership between Farrell and
Sexton. Oh yeah, what's the chat
around
that then?
Well, it's just that Ben Teo, they could not drop him leading up into the first test because he was that good.
Yeah.
But as a player, there's a missed opportunity in the first test where the ball comes to him, he steps inside, slips. You don't get many opportunities in these big games. And that Sexton, Farrell, sort of John Davis combo, those three work together as a unit a lot better than if Ben Teo was in there, because Ben Teo is obviously a big defender, he's a big ball carrier, but a lot of the stuff he does is individually.
Yeah.
Or individual.
So he kind of works alone.
Yeah.
He's like Schwarzenegger in Predator. He doesn't want Dylan on board. He works alone.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, but with, I guess, you can't, I mean, Owen Farrell just has to play whatever, but you actually, it's those partnerships, isn't it? And how much he might be brilliant on his own, but how much is he helping out everyone else?
And also kind of really, it gives a good insight as to what it was like in the final week as well. He said, because when they first turned up, all the media, all the jokes, all the cracks were, you know, aimed towards the Lions. And yeah, the last week, he said, it was dead. No one wanted to say anything. The New Zealand public and media were actually scared that they could lose this test series. So he said he saw a massive, massive change in it. But good. But it was a good night all round, mate.
I don't know Rob Howley from Adam, but I don't know. I quite like the fact that he. It's one thing, you know. Let's just be frank about it. He'll be getting paid to be there and do these things, so it's commercial opportunity, and that's his, you know, that's part of his job and that sort of stuff. It's paying the bills, but then to actually turn up and offer proper insight, like so many of these guys would be, whether he offers something or not, he will repeatedly now for the rest of his life be asked to attend these events.
Yeah.
So he has the option to offer something or not. He will still, being crude about it, he will always earn a living from corporate entertainment because of what he's achieved and where he's been. So he doesn't actually have to turn up and offer something, but he does, and I quite like that.
Yeah.
Like Warren Gatland. I mean, if you ever get a chance, ladies and gents, if you ever get a chance to go to a corporate event where, you know, Clive, you always know you're going to get something, but Warren Gatland is actually brilliant value. Ideally, go to a dinner, not a lunch, so he's had a few beers. But he's very, very good value, and a lot of these guys offer way more than you expect them to offer in these
maybe
situations.
We should put a lunch or dinner on, and
we should do a
dinner with Warren Gatland.
So we should. I was going to say we should do it properly, but loads of people are doing it properly.
We should not do it properly.
We should not. We should absolutely fuck about.
Yeah.
We could actually. We could put a little lunch on in Cardiff or
I don't know if we get the support, mate.
I don't know. Don't you reckon?
Tweet in. Let us know.
Get your fishing rod out. Yeah. It won't be too many. $9,000 a ticket. Be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that. $9,000 a table.
$9,000 a table. Well, it wouldn't take the piss. Table of two. You've got to cover Gats's fee, mate. That's the problem. Hey, we've got... we're not going to go into it loads and loads now because there's loads of stuff to be finalised, but we've got a few live pods coming up, haven't we, over the next couple of months?
We do, yeah. We've got a few with Fullers.
I don't quite know how they're going to actually happen, look, but apparently it's simple enough.
Apparently so. We're in four Fullers pubs, aren't we? In Bath, in Reading, in London.
Yeah.
And one more somewhere, which I don't know
Bath.
Where.
Bath, Reading, London, and London.
Okay.
Yeah, Twickenham and the City we're in.
Okay.
So that'd be really, really cool. One of them's at the Cabbage Patch, one of them's at the Huntsman in Bath. And it'd be really good, and we're getting some big names. So we're looking at Sam Warburton, we're looking at James Haskell. We're also looking at
Lawrence Delalio,
for goodness sake.
Donico Callahan.
Donico Callahan. So yeah, so actually what happened, the conversation started and we kind of had a choice and say, who would you ideally get? And we basically had five names and... You know, one of them was Brian O'Driscoll, and he just happens on the only date we could really use him because it's probably before England Ireland. He's actually elsewhere, as you might imagine. Otherwise, he definitely would have done it because we're his heroes. So he's actually already booked somewhere else, and we know that to be true and not an excuse, by the way.
He does really like us.
He loves us.
Tweets all the time saying what great guys we are.
But we actually said Haskell, obvious. Warby, obvious. Donico Callahan, we've both seen him do a little bit of TV and met him a couple of times,
good.
And he's just the most engaging, like hypnotically engaging
guy.
Yeah,
just don't look into his eyes.
Yeah, because you fall in love with him.
You'd be under a spell.
Yeah, he turned to stone. He's like an Irish Medusa.
Yeah.
So that will be really, really good fun. And Big Lol, I don't know, like, you know, he does. They basically don't. Someone like Lol just doesn't have to do this.
Not at all.
He emailed back, and this is probably private information, but there you go. Michelle, our agent, emailed Lowell and said, Lowell, would you do this? And he was like, let me know the date, happily help the boys out. And he never once said, this is my fee, nothing like that. He just said, no problem, let me know. Happy to help the boys out. Is it okay if we talk about, you know, a charity I'm particularly passionate about when I'm on there? That's it.
The Delalio Foundation.
The Delalio Foundation. You're like, what a legend. When considering he's a proper big dog, proper icon, he just said yes. And he replied within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No agents, nothing like that. Straight back, done.
Three cheers for Lol.
I love Lol. Mm. I love Lowell. What a boy. Mm. Are you going to ask me what I've been up to, mate?
Yeah, we haven't finished talking. Right, what have you been up to?
Not a lot.
Nothing?
All right.
How was your Honey Love party?
Love Honey.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah. So after the last pod, I literally jumped in the Mr. Udi Gower. Remember Mr. Udi Gower? From Neighbours? He owned Lasseter's.
Okay.
You know everyone has at the shower, they say getting a Dave Gower?
Yeah.
Don't forget Mr. Udi Gower, mate. Don't you forget
him.
I can't
remember him, mate.
He owned Lasseter's.
Okay.
Come on. To jump to the Mr. Udi Gower and had a Marcello Bosch and then went over to a sex toy party in Bristol.
Did you have a Trevely Otter?
Toilet Otter.
Yeah.
Left a little toilet otter. A Sean Gota. Martin Wood. Remember Martin Wood, the scrum half?
Yeah, yeah.
Every day, he used to walk every day, go, he said, all right, lads, I'm off for a clap. And he'd get a newspaper or magazine, stick it under his arm and walk out the front. He'd come back in half an hour later and he'd walk in and say, oh, that bastard wants its back snapping. He won't go down. He won't stay down. Anyway, so yeah, it wasn't actually a sex toy party, but it was like, it was a long, like extended, really, really, really interesting Q&A with these two guys, Richard and Neil Luke from Bath, who've effectively... They were internet nerds and they basically said there's a couple of opportunities here. It's either going to be stitch work and craft work.
Or sex toys,
because there's an opportunity there. And the only people selling sex toys are creepy pornographers. And we're not about that. We're about normalising it, making it completely fine and just selling stuff that people want without being less non-misogynistic.
What do people want?
They want, the biggest sellers are the Love Honey Rabbit XL.
XL. Okay.
I know, which, I mean, as soon as they said that, I felt threatened and intimidated by it. Also, I think the number one bestseller is the Slimline Butt Plug. And I said, who do you know who you sell these things to? And this is a bit punchy, this, everyone, so beware. But
okay.
These guys talk about sex toys like we talk about tea and coffee.
Okay.
They're not, everyone's giggling in the room. They're not giggling. They're just like, oh yeah, I forgot. You don't talk about sex all the time, but... They're not deviants or anything like that. They're into making money, you know?
Yeah.
And growing the business. So it's like our number one toy is this. And they pulled out a Slimline butt plug. A Slimline butt plug. And he's like, I'm wearing one now. He's like, you really? He said, no, but I could be. He's sort of like, yeah. So he's like, this is our number one toy. And it's like, oh, right. And he's like, have any of you got kids going off to uni? And a lot of people put their hands up. He goes, yeah, we sell them mainly to kids of about uni age. And the reason we think we want to do it, we sell them mainly to girls. Sort of 18 to 20 years old. That's our biggest market. And you're like, why is that? He goes, we think they think they're going to get asked to do things they haven't done before at uni. And this is like, and I was like, whoa. And those blokes in the room were like, my daughter's just gone to uni, because it's in Bristol. My daughter's just gone to uni. He's like, yeah, we all did it, mate. Anyway, so what we did then was we got a new FD in, and it was honestly like,
oh,
it was savage, but they were so good. And then I went to dinner the next night and they were there. And I went to dinner 2 days later and they were there. It got a bit weird in the end. We're sitting on the same table every night.
You'd be on the board soon, won't you?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. It's just, it's, you know.
Bring out the flatman.
There was a...
The rhino.
Would you call it a rhino XL? No. The rhino medium.
The baby born rhino.
They could bring your one out and call it the lightsaber.
The rhino fetus.
The glow stick. The rhino fetus. Oh, no. I mean, jokes aside, we're both perfectly happy with how we're put together. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. And I also hosted a dinner for Matt Hampson, the Matt Hampson Foundation.
That's right. I saw that on Twitter.
Do you know, there are a couple of things on the night that... Loads of stuff's worthy of mention, but a couple of things on the night were... Our first chat was with Danielle Waterman and Rachel Burford, so two women's rugby players, and they were...
What's their chat like? Do they have a good chat? They have funny stories?
Really good chat.
Really?
They're great crack. And I, you know, because of all the TV stuff...
Putting like DP in sports bras.
I regularly... Yeah, and I'm shatting her boots and... No, none of that stuff. But I do a lot of the... You know, I speak to a lot of TV producers and stuff, and I'm always saying to Michelle, I really think that... I mean, I did the Women's World Cup with Maggie, and I love Maggie, and she's my children's favourite woman in the whole world, because she's beautiful and she smiles.
Yeah.
You know, so they love her, because we're trying to teach them that happy people are beautiful people and that sort of stuff. So, and all that bullshit. No, it's true. So, but I keep saying, you know, she's the only one who's really doing it, and I'm like, seriously, Rachel's got a bit more time left in the game. Danielle's in her last season, a couple of seasons kind of thing. And I was like, you've got to look at someone like Nolly, who is Danielle Waterman, everyone calls her Nolly. You've got to look at someone like Nolly for the TV stuff, because she'd be really, really good. I've done loads of dinners with her now. Yeah. She and she's really, really...
I can see, like, you've got nicknames for her and everything.
Yeah, everyone calls her Nolly. It's her little Twitter handle. Yeah.
Just her friends.
Just her best friends, her soulmates. But she will, I reckon, 5 years from now, she'll be a regular face on...
Really?
Rugby TV, yeah. She's very, very good. And she's fun. Like, you know, it's not... A lot of people haven't done TV before, or wouldn't. They've got a bit of insight, but they're not fun. So she's got the insight. Nice. She's played at the mega level. And anyway, that was fun. But then the second Q&A we had was...
When did you do the first Q&A? After starters?
Yeah, three Q&As is a lot, mate.
Yeah.
So it's three Q&As. So the first Q&As are those two. After main course. Then the second Q&A was with Hambo himself, Henry Fraser. You know Henry.
Yeah.
Does the mouth paintings. Released a book, J.K. Rowling. Yeah. I mean, everyone loves him. He's
on Jonathan Ross as well.
On Jonathan Ross. He's changed. I said, you changed, mate. You're a knob now.
Yeah.
It came up in like a swanky jacket and polished shoes. I was like, mate, you'll never get the wear out of them. You'll never get the wear. He's got a shoe sponsor. He loves it, mate. He loves the crack. Far into him, you know.
Yeah.
And his brother always helps him out. And
his brother's just retired as well from Saracens, isn't
he? Yeah, I saw him yesterday. Yeah. He had a bit of an interesting chat from him yesterday as well. But one of his other brothers is there with him, helping him out. And they're ripping into him, and a load of old... They went to my school, those boys. And there's a load of old school chat, and they'll... Henry gets abused like everyone else. It's brilliant. And then... But on top of that, Ed Jackson was there.
Yes.
And I was particularly keen to get Ed Jackson on stage because he's an old mate of mine, and he's had this horrible time. And he is just like... I mean, you say this sort of stuff. There are loads of inspirational people around that have had horrible things happen to them. But there just aren't many like Jacko.
Just like super unique, positive.
Pushing it. Super positive, but real. He's like, you know, I tell you what, when the lights go off at night, it's different. You know, it's not all smiles, that sort of stuff. So he's not relentlessly positive, but he's exactly... What my thing... He is exactly the same bloke as before he broke his neck. And it kind of made me think, well, why wouldn't he be? I assumed he would be devastated or... I don't know, frail or something, but he's not. It was just great crack, ripping the piss out of me, which actually pissed me off. And I told him he could fuck off.
What did he say?
I can't remember. He gave me a... We're talking about fitness or something.
Talking about your eczema again.
He said, I still do you in a 3K fatty or something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, you joke, mate. I will fucking whack you in a minute. And then he started taking the piss out of my shoes, which are burgundy handmade Italians. Don't worry about it.
Well, were they the shoes that have buckles on or laces?
No, they're just burgundy brogues. They go really nicely with a navy suit or a grey suit.
Do you have you wore navy?
Yeah.
Not brown?
No, navy.
Oh, wow. Well done, mate.
I'm actually just having a couple
little
of...
steps.
I'm actually having a couple of jackets made at the moment. One of them's navy.
Good.
One of them's...
You look good in navy.
Grey, like grey charcoal-y thing.
You've killed like the brown jacket now, mate, if I'm honest with you. You have to wear something different.
Yeah. The thing is, I've got like three of them. They all look almost the same.
Yeah, I know. Like, they might have a different pattern on, but you can't tell, can you?
No, everyone thinks you're wearing the same thing. I'm like Princess Dino. I never wear the same dress twice. So anyway, we had this Q&A, and they're all amazing. Jacko was just legendary, you know. And I'm doing a few things. I'm doing something with him this week as well. But then you have the auction, because that's after.
Did you do the auction?
No. Charlie Morris did the auction. He's brilliant, and he's top of the range. And then you've got right at the end, you've got kind of the celebi Q&A, which is the rock star one. So on that, we're Dylan Hartley, Paul Gustard, Mike Tyndall, Jim Hamilton.
Oh, good.
And it was like, right, let's get serious. Loads of people had loads of rugby questions. I was like, Tins, let's talk about throwing dwarfs at walls, mate.
Did you get people to ask questions from the audience?
Yeah, but in the end, we got a few people wrote some down, but we just didn't get there. We just dicked around. And they're all great, those boys. And Jim Hamilton, his class, mate.
Yeah.
Very, very funny guy. And there's a bit of beef on Twitter that apparently Joe Marler doesn't like him. So Joe was there on the night. So I stirred it up and I said, you know, I don't want to be a shit stirrer, but Joe Marler's here and he thinks you're an absolute bell end. And Jim, you're a tough guy, but there's no... You got fists made of sponge, you say it yourself. There's no way you could have Joe in a fight. And he's like, I'm up for a white collar boxing match for charity and all that sort of stuff. And he went on and on, and he was like, the issue with me is I can get insurance, whatever it is, but Joe's a pro athlete, so he's going to struggle for insurance. And I'm sure he's got the contacts and he's got the money to pay for it, but eventually he's going to... People he's asking to insure him are going to do some research. They're going to Google me, and they're not going to let him do it because they're not going to insure him, you know, to go in the ring with an absolute fucking killer. It was very, very funny. It was very, very funny. And then there was this... Someone got a picture of Joe and Jim talking to each other at the dinner.
Yeah.
And someone sent it to Jim, and Jim just said, "We're just sorting out the insurance, mate." Like, you know.
Do you know what I like about Joe Marler? He's just so humble.
Oh, he's sweeping the changing rooms.
Sweeping the changing rooms with a Dyson.
I love that.
So humble. Stay humble.
Just staying humble, guys. I love that. Do you know, it's funny that, because, you know, I tweeted about this whole Steve Hansen getting
back
on
the
bus. I just...
Every coach does it, though.
Every coach does it. And do you know what? I just can't help thinking that is staged and it is bollocks. However, and pretty much everyone agreed with me, although hardly anyone in the game agreed with me. It was all fans, so we don't know.
Yeah.
But something interesting happened. I sent that tweet out, and I thought some people are going to get pissed off, and some people did. And I don't do stuff to be provocative. It just annoyed. No. I just thought it was funny. And I thought, oh, come on, come off it. And then someone, now and again, a like, when someone like a verified or famous or whatever likes it, it pops up on your screen, and it said, Carl Heyman likes your tweet. I was like, ah, he would know. And he is a straight shooter, Carl.
Got a nibble.
So I was like, hang on a minute. Okay, I'm onto something. And then John Arfoa, who also is a man with zero bullshit in his system.
Yeah.
He said, mate, you're on the wrong lines.
Okay.
Everyone calls him Shag or whatever, don't they, Steve Hansen? Shag, yeah. He's been doing this since day one. You got to earn it, mate. He's been doing it since day one. It's who he is. And I was like, oh, you know, I absolutely bow to John's experience and knowledge in there. But then Joe liked it as well. And, it, you know, it's kind of like a lot of the boys bit on it. And because Haskell's done a couple of changing room sweeping shots lately, but genuine ones. Like, oh, just sweeping the changing room. Sorry about that. He's given someone his phone to film him. And so he's done a bit of that. So then I said, all the English lads, stop it. Stop doing that. So Joe did one on Friday night. Very, very funny.
Brilliant.
If you haven't seen it,
I loved it.
He's a funny man. And he doesn't give a single frig, which I quite like.
Leo Vegas bet the week. Yeah. Last week came in again. I think I might be four on the bounce, big boy.
Yeah.
Bet the Cardiff Blues to beat the Gwent Dragons by more than 3 points. And it ended up being 43-29. Mm. Close first half.
Oh, the kids are in luck, aren't they?
Who are we betting this week?
For Children in Need, Tommy, via Leo Vegas, we are... I'm going to have a bet because I'm going to the game on Racing 92 against Leicester Tigers.
In Paris?
At Paris.
Yes.
And I am going to bet on Leicester Tigers to win that game. All I'm going to say is Leicester Tigers to win. That's it. So by that, I mean by 1 point or more.
Leicester Tigers to win.
Tigers to win away from home in Paris. All right.
Get into it.
Deal with it.
Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you're over 18.
Let's talk rugby. Let's do our rugby section. Yeah?
We've got to do it, mate. We've got to do it. We've got to fit it in there.
The issue I have with the rugby section is that this week it's of interest to listeners, I presume, our views on some stuff. But podcasts are all about back catalogues. So you stumble across a podcast, like it, and you listen to the old ones. That is how podcasts work. And this is irrelevant 6 weeks
from
now. But
we do get some people who listen to it as we go, mate, as well. So you've got to cater to both.
Yeah, all right. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just, you know.
Did you happen to watch New Zealand South Africa?
No, I haven't seen. All I've seen is the Nehe Milner-Scudder offload, which is outrage.
Outrage. We'll tweet that later. He's gone at full pelt down the wing, cuts inside, puts it round the back to Aaron Smith. If Aaron Smith had gone for the line, I think he would have scored. But he tries to cut back inside.
Will Greenwood did a tweet about it and did a little commentary alongside it. And he says, I think he says something like, it's the best offload you'll ever see. And I'm not sure he's wrong.
I don't know. Quay Cooper threw a great one for the Reds, Queensland Reds, a few years ago.
I saw Tommy Castagnier throw one once where he dummied. He was at fly half, ball coming from his left from Kieran Bracken. And he gets the ball and he's a runner on his inside. And he puts the ball in his left hand. So he's at 10. And he dummies it, does a little flick inside, but a dummy. And then he chucks the ball into his other hand and does a one-handed dummy out to the right.
Yeah.
So his ball's gone left, ball's gone right. And then he gets the ball and whips it back across in front of himself in a little mini torpedo underneath his left hand, back inside. So he goes inside, outside, inside. And the defence was like...
Yeah, if you get that, listeners, you might want to rewind that and close your eyes and listen to it. Might make more sense then.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's the best offload I've ever seen, but it was class, like full pace, round the back.
I did one over my head once against Bristol. I did. I got tackled and threw it, literally dropped it over my right shoulder. And I think it went to Chris Brooker, who was our hooker at the time. Brooker the hooker. I think it was Brooker. And I remember Steve, me and our coach saying, that is one of the best offloads I've ever seen.
Really?
And it wasn't intentional. And do you know what? It actually was. And I had almost, if I in top trumps, my skills would have been one or two. It was just one day it just happened.
I never did anything that flashy like that in the game, but no. Probably the flashiest thing I did was it was a scrum against the head. We won it for Wales. A scrum against the head. It came down the line to me, and I had it in my hands. I dummied the I bought the winger on a switch.
Yeah.
Dummied him. Yeah. Everyone fell for it around the outside to score.
Oh, Stopsy Ojo.
And it was against
Stopsy Ojo.
It was against Australia / Romania.
That rugby hothouse. I remember playing against Bath once at the Rec. We were playing for Saris and it was pissing with rain. I think it was night time or whatever. Ball was really greasy. And I remember that night Tony Diprose did two unbelievable things.
He was so skillful.
So one line out, I ran around the back and lifted Dippy. It wasn't that easy to lift actually, Dips, but got a bit of spray on him and you could hold him up. And he was sick of our scrum half mate doing something, or their scrum half doing something, or their seven at the back. And he said, next line out, he goes, next call, he goes, just hold me up, don't let me down. So I'm 18 and he's quite heavy.
Yeah, he's a big bloke, isn't he?
Big bloke. So the first thing he did was held him up and he caught the ball and I held him up and he literally, it must be on TV somewhere. He had the ball in his right hand and he literally swiveled in the air and American football passed it to our fly half, to Alain Penneau, just to cut out their seven. It was like, oh my God, that skill. But then the ball was like bubbling around loose on the floor near the touchline, the left-hand touchline at the Rec, near the main stand. And Dippy runs towards it. And what you're going to do there is dive on it. And I'm thinking, if he dives on it, it'll just slide into touch. What's the point? And he dives. And as he dives, he does a David Campese one-handed pickup. And in the same movement, flips it out the back. But he puts it's a five-metre reverse spin pass. It's not just popped. You're like, to a runner. You're like,
so good. Do you know he reminded me of? Good. He reminded me of Michael Owen, the number 8 for Wales.
Yeah.
They're both really, really skillful. Not like, didn't have uber amounts of power or pace, but like being able to throw passes 30 metres off both hands, no problem, being able to offload, being able to hold the ball one hand, out the back, the lot.
So you saw that game and apparently it was an epic test.
It was an epic test. They lost by a point.
I'm gutted they lost that. I'd love South Africa to
I know, win and I think everyone's realised now South Africa are not going to roll over when they come to the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, they'll batter Wales.
It's no longer the Wales banker.
They'll batter Wales, mate, won't they?
But Delonde got sent off right at the end.
Delonde
for charging down a drop kick. There's a lot of torn opinions with that.
Yeah,
his elbow connects with Saponga's
His wrist bone connects.
Saponga's face. But he had plenty of time to pull out of that. He's obviously bracing himself to take contact after charging down the kick, but it was stupid.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing. It was a professional foul.
It was très stupide.
Elbow connected with the head, although very lightly, so probably the right decision in my book. But then at the end as well, you know, South Africa coming back and... Excuse me for that noise.
What is that noise? Jeepers. Someone's wrapping something in cling film.
It's like
Will Spencer on Saturday afternoon wrapping boys up.
But right at the end as well, someone from New Zealand comes right in at the side. The ref doesn't pick it up, and it looked quite blatant just when South Africa are on the charge down the field.
Yeah.
Turnover, game loss.
Thing is, that's rugby union, Tom, and you know that as well as I do, old chum. Hopefully it's not super noisy here. I mean, I think it probably is. That's why they don't film radio shows in public bars.
What games were you at the weekend?
I was at London Irish Leicester on Saturday, commentated on that with Nick Mullins and Austin Healy. And Bob
Casey
was there too. Yeah, closer than it should have been, really. It was really odd. I mean, at the risk of repeating everything I said on Channel 5 last night, it's Monday morning here, by the way. We're recording this post-workout. Both of us been to the gym. Oops, Stopsy Ojo. So it was London Irish defence just isn't at it. They're on different pages. You've got some drifting because they haven't got the numbers. You've got some hitting in, you know, sort of making hero tackles. Sometimes it works, but then you get someone like George Ford and then you get someone like and Matt Tamua.
Yeah.
They'll make you look stupid so easily.
Mate, Tamua, what a signing he's been.
Mate, he is leathering people as well in defence.
Leathering people in defence, but his passing, he's there's not many ball playing 12s out there. They're so hard to come by, and someone that can tackle as well and hit it up as well as be like a second 10. He's so, like,
do you know who I reckon they should make into a 12? Rhys Patchell.
Yeah. Copying me from
said
last
that every week,
can't
for
you?
Last year. But then you got Gareth Owen, the Welsh lad, who's kind of been around the clubs a bit. He looked really impressive, and you don't quite know if he's going to look impressive against a great defence, because London Irish haven't got their defence sorted out yet.
Not at all.
And this is one of those, you can talk about this on podcast, not really on the telly, but this is one of those little interpersonal conundrums you have, because the London Irish defence coach is, well, all their coaches, they're not friends of mine, but I would always stop and chat. They're kind of mates, and yeah. Declan Danaher, the defence coach, is one of them. He was a fantastic defender, but there's just a bit of work to do there. But you just do. It's funny, you have this situation where, being frank about it, you get asked a question on TV: why do you think London Irish are conceding points, averaging 10 to 12 points in the first quarter, and conceding and only scoring two in a bit?
Yeah.
Why is that? And people talk about a slow start, and you have a
it's a terrible start for
but you have a split second. Say, do I say what I actually think and be honest?
Yes.
Do what I'm paid to do, even though I'm effectively criticising my friend, my mate. And you just have to do it. If you're going to be in this game,
yeah.
They understand that. The lads don't mind, but there is
you're
just
not there to be their mate. You're there to get some insight.
To be honest, and I want to be friendly, yeah. But equally, I've got a lot of lads who I really like spending time with Gloucester here and there, or like bumping into at Gloucester, but last week, yeah, they were awful, and you say they're awful, and you just have these little split seconds where you think, am I going to be honest? And I hopefully every single time I say, right, I'm going to be honest. Like, we'll talk about Freddie Burns' red card in a minute, and
okay,
I bloody love Freddie Burns.
Well done you though, mate. Okay,
but one point is, it's so easy not to, and people really criticise people when they don't. And it's not like I'm a brutal pundit. I'm not Roy Keane.
Yeah, you could fluff around the truth, really, and make...
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you have to be honest, mate, because that's what you're paid to do.
But you know, it's like, sometimes your opinion is fluffy.
Yeah.
So, like, the other day, I asked Ben Kay on TV yesterday, Nick Mullins put him right on the spot in the game. He goes, right, Dylan Hartley or Jamie George for England? And then Ben gave this answer, and he sort of fluffed it a bit. He didn't. And they took the piss out of him for fluffing it a bit, or dodging it. And I don't think he dodged it. His opinion actually matches mine. And you say, well, actually, Dylan is just such a senior figure that I reckon he will... But I also reckon Jamie George will start some games in the autumn. So they're pretty close. And it's easy for a fan to say, don't pick Hartley, pick him. Or don't pick George, pick him.
Pick the
but
British
both
Lion.
Offer different stuff, you know. So you sometimes sound fudgy when you're not.
When you actually don't know yourself.
Don't know who you'd pick.
Quinn Sale Sharks. How good was Danny Kerr?
Mate.
Apart from one intercept pass, which we won't talk about that.
Yeah, but when you try as much as he tries,
his ability to scan the field is, I think, when you look at him, every single ruck, his head's up, he's looking. I know that's simple, and scrum half should do that, but no one does it as good as him.
Yeah,
always looking. That first kick for Tim Visser's try,
bare jokes, mate.
Even his second kick for Tim Visser's try,
But the second kick had to be a different kick. You had to take it away from the breakdown.
And that was straight off the training field as well. You could tell that was something they pre-worked at. Fafter Clerk was on the wing. Yeah. The fullback had gone.
Credit to Nick Evans for that, I reckon.
Yeah, credit to Nick. But the kick has to be perfect. And it just sat up perfectly for him.
I've always said, Tommy, that I've always said that Danny Kerr on his day, I think in your own 22 or 20 to 30 metres out from your own line, Ben Youngs is terrifying. Because he can just rip you apart. He's so quick.
Yeah.
He's actually a lot stronger than he looks. All over the field, I found personally, or we found when I played, Danny Kerr the hardest guy to play against. He's got everything.
The first try where it's, I think it's off a turnover. And it's just that understanding between Visser and Kerr, because Visser just all of a sudden hits his wing really quickly. There's no communication there at all.
No.
It's just Danny Kerr looking up. He sees Visser. Visser knows what he wants.
It's prep is what it is.
It's just that knowledge and that game understanding, which is...
Yeah.
Come through, they're just on the same wavelength. We just come through a bit of time together, a bit of playing together,
shared
knowing each other.
Cohesion.
Yeah, exactly. So he's good.
I love that. Mike Haley's try was really good as well.
Mark Merchant looks better every time as well. Every game he looks better and better.
Yeah, he's.
A lot of 13s doing well in England at the moment.
Henry Trinder.
We'll get on to him in a bit.
Slade as well.
Yeah.
Jonathan Joseph looked really good again Saturday. Elliot Daly, you've got
loads.
You've got four or five lads that could play 13 for England. Luther Burrell is playing the best he's played since he got binned before the World Cup for Sam Burgess, which seemed to knock him. He's playing the best he's played in a couple of years. He looks really good. We'll get on to that, but he made a great break in the Saints game.
Yeah, we'll talk about that now. Gloucester 29, yeah. Northampton 24.
Luther made a great break, and you know what it's like. He made a great break, but you're 20 yards in from the touchline, effectively running directly forwards, due north.
Yeah.
And your only option is a 15 metre pass off your left hand at full chat, and there's a defender sticking his arm in the way, that's a hard pass.
It is.
And it was bang on try time.
That's
really,
when
really
he goes straight through the middle, isn't it? Yeah. Off the left-hand scrum.
Yeah.
It's because Willie Hines is defending in the centre channel, and all of a sudden he starts backpedalling. It's because
Scrum's
not naturally are used to defending in the line, especially out wide.
Yeah.
And he just gets himself in a little bit of a pickle because he should keep moving forward.
Yeah.
But as he's seen what's in front, he slows down, starts backpedaling, and all of a sudden then Burrell hits that real tight angle.
Yeah.
And goes through.
So you can, but Willie Hines' try was mega, wouldn't it? You see that?
Yeah.
So good.
He's quick. Yeah, he's quick, but for me that was just, it was a great try, but it was shocking defence.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have been taken down. Even the first try, there's Gloucester score. There's a 4v2 on the left hand side. Northampton only put two players over there.
Yeah.
There's four Gloucester players. They're using Hines as an extra defender, but it's just bad marking up.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got four players there, you know, you're not going to be able to defend with two defenders and hoping that Iskamaf can come across.
Yeah.
So it was bad marking up there by Northampton. Okay. And then Burrell just can't drift.
Yep.
Goes over.
Has to stick, yeah.
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 But anyway, let's talk about Trinder.
Trinder. Yeah. So here's the thing, right? There are some players, you know, especially in the backs, where as a pundit or commentator, like, I'll try and delay my praise just because I don't feel like I know enough yet.
Yeah.
And because you will see someone play for 10 minutes and you'll know, like, I'll see a prop hit a couple of scrums and I'll know. I don't have that knowledge of the backs. I've got a bit, but not as much as you. So I've waited and waited. I've seen him play really well a few times. That was the first time I've ever got the extended highlights on this website thing we've got, and I said the whole ball in play, and I watched him basically the whole game. I did a player cam on him, which is nerdy, on my phone in a hotel on my own on Saturday night. And Before the Crawler boxing match, Crawler against Burns, which is awesome, and I just thought, this guy is, I've always wondered, is he electrically quick? And his acceleration looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, he looked so agile and powerful,
balanced as well.
Balanced.
When he runs,
like, you would not, you, I would hate to play against him. So I thought, I was actually watching him thinking, he is the real deal. If he stays fit,
that's his problem though, staying fit. He's a long injury, but I've not seen it. There's not many players that come back from long injury like that and fit straight back in to
it. Amazing. Especially in a position like that where you've got so much thinking to do.
Do you know what's good? You know his second try? It's Ludlow.
Yeah.
Who points left.
Yeah.
You know, had he not pointed at, had he not shouted at Hines, that ball would not have gone to Trinder.
Yeah,
it was just a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Trinder steps inside. But that's down to him, that try, because you can see him shouting at Hines. Hines is going to pass right.
Yeah.
Ludlow's going left, points.
So it's good to see it, but it's also good to shout at a senior player when you're a junior player and say, you, get it left. It's good that. It's good. That's good balls. But also, it's a hell of a finish, that.
I know.
Great footwork. And his acceleration off the mark. I love him. And you speak to, tell you who I spoke to about it, who I regard as an authority.
Yeah.
Is James Simpson Daniel, because he's a grumpy northern bastard. And he was,
you can see a lot of him in that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's funny.
He's a bit bigger than James Simpson Daniel, but he's that type of balanced runner, isn't
he? He's taller, but he's not stockier bottom
doesn't
half.
Doesn't slow down when he steps.
Yeah, that's it. And I said, what's he like? And he said, I remember Mike Tindall saying on TV, if when he's fit, James Simpson Daniel is the best back in England. He's the best. He's that good. And I played against him bad loads of times, and I wouldn't, you know, argue that. He was just freaky. But James Simpson Daniel said to me, when Trinder's fully fit, he said this to me a while ago, when he's fully fit, he's proper international class. Like, he's that good.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, like, there's someone's going to twist their ankle at some point, but there just ain't room for all these guys, because you know, the guys you've got are 13 potentially. Jonathan Joseph, again, as I said, looked great. And his finish against Worcester was fab, because he had to, defenders closing in, he needed wheels, needed precision and all that stuff. And that was a lovely finish, that. So this competition is great for us lot.
And Woodward's been a great sign as well for Gloucester.
He, again, electric, isn't he?
Too easy for him to catch that ball, though. Tom Collins gets himself in a right mess. Yeah. Doesn't even get off the ground, doesn't even get near it.
No. He's had a great few weeks,
Tom Collins. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, that's just one error, isn't it? But yeah. It's tough, that. But you know, if you play international level, you are going to get peppered with kicks like that.
Bath Worcester, 29-13 to Bath.
Yeah, it's all right. The big talking point was, the two talking points to me were, how good is Zach Mercer? Oh my God, he's amazing. He's different from Sam Simmons, but They're both just fantastic young back rowers. Yep. You can stick those boys in an England team now and they'd do all right. And they're kids, you know. So, kids in the game. But the big talking point was Freddie Burns' red card. And, you know, we filmed a couple of versions of the clip where we talk, the link where we talk about it. Mark Durden-Smith and I filmed a couple of versions of it because of the light kept changing and it looks weird on the camera and stuff. So in one of them, I don't think they put it on last night. Mark Durden-Smith said a lot of people are saying that shouldn't have been a red. I said, I think you'll find 99.8% of those people are Bath fans, respectfully. Okay. Everyone else thinks he is spearing at 45 degrees towards the floor, feet in the air, head first. And all right, he sticks his arm out, but...
He lands on his head.
He shits himself.
And shoulder at the same time.
He shits himself. Yeah. So that's a red card.
It is. He picks him up, elbow comes up, does not then let go and try and hold him, just powers him into the ground.
Yeah. And it's funny because one of the guys on site says, are you going to be all right saying that about Freddie Burns because he's your mate? And one of the Sarries guys said, what are you going to say about Freddie Burns? He's your mate, isn't he? I said, that's the job, mate. It's funny how people still think like that.
It is a red card.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's a soft one. You know, you see far worse spear tackles than that. But he picks him up, he lifts him up, he powers him into the ground, his head and shoulder hit simultaneously. Yeah.
Very different from Gareth Owen on Greg Thompson, if you ask me. Landed on his upper back. For me, that's a yellow.
Yeah.
It's a definite yellow versus a definite red. And, you know, hey, nothing personal, mate, is it? Hey, tell you something else about Freddie Burns, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Speaking to Ed Jackson the other night, found this out. I said, you know, Jacko, you break your neck, you're properly in Shittsville, you're having a terrible time, you want your mates to gather around you. I said, what's the first thing Freddie Burns did?
What?
And he said, he took my car, mate. He said, you ain't going to be using it. Can I have it? He took my whip. He's got a big Merc 4x4. Lovely bit of kit. Burnsy took it off him straight away. He's been ragging it around bar, telling everyone it's his. All right, I'm hamming it up a bit. He took over the lease and paid it and told everyone it was Jacko's. Yeah, but still, he took Jacko's car. And I said to Freddie, when are you going to give it back? He goes, well, he can't have me in a fight now, so I'm keeping it. Fuck him, is what he said. Exact words.
Fair enough.
Allegedly.
Just on the...
Jacko's got his car back now.
On the South Africa New Zealand game, right? I forgot to mention.
Malcolm Marks, hooker.
Yeah, Wowzers.
Wow.
See the clips. Wow, what a player. A cross between Skulk Brits and Mike
Tyson.
He was
huge. Etzebeth was huge as well. We have to mention him because he was that good on the weekend.
Yeah. Hell of a boy. He's the... They seem to wheel him out, don't they?
Just so you know, mate, because I know you're really interested in the Welsh derbies. As I said earlier, the Blues beat the Dragons 43-29. The Dragons were really good, first off. Our mate Henson.
Are they still going, the Dragons?
Yeah. They've been doing right,
mate. How many playing?
Henson was slick and
they got
calm,
super gav, mate.
They just fell away. They just fell away second
and you're
half.
Telling me he's gone for Wales. He never played for Wales again.
He won't play for Wales again.
All right.
He's too old, mate. You've got to bring the youngsters through. You've got to bring the likes of Patchell. Into 12. We've got
Patchen
Scott
at
Williams.
12. Oh god, here we go.
Tom James is good. Seb Davis was good for Cardiff. He's one to watch, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Scarlets beat the Ospreys again. Steph Evans
again. Standard. It's just bog standard, mate.
He has to play.
It's like Johnny May now, just scores every week.
He has to play for Wales.
Yep.
Like he'd be the first of the back three on that team sheet.
He will play.
But then you've got George North, Liam Williams and Lee Halfpenny, you know.
Easy, mate. I'm sorry. It's easy.
Shanko, it's easy,
mate. Steph Evans, George North, Liam Williams in your back three. It's easy. It's so easy.
I'll go for that. Depends who they play at 10, though, mate. That's the problem you got.
Got the mate bit. Who are they going to play at 10, then?
Well, it depends if they play Patchell or Bigger.
Or Biggs.
If they play Patchell.
Never met Bigger.
If they play Patchell, they're going to need Lee Halfpenny.
Patch. They play Patch.
For his kicking.
They're not going to play Patch at 12 because they got Scott Williams, who is... class.
Yeah, he's
absolute class, and he's already a proper 12. He's not converting.
Yeah, but if they play Patchell at 10, if they go with the Scarlets backline, I think they're going to have to have Lee Halfpenny in for his kicking because he's a better kicker than Patchell. Whilst Dan Bigger, if he plays at 10, they don't necessarily have to have Lee Halfpenny.
That's why I think Dan Bigger will play.
Okay. Yep.
So that'll do us, won't it? Question time.
Yeah.
Prime Minister's question time. Okay. It's question time with Tommy and Davey.
We've got one from Andy Machard.
Whatever.
Do New Zealand have the best 10 and 15 in world rugby? Yes, I think they do.
Yep.
She's talking about Barrett and McKenzie.
Yep.
McKenzie's not a big bloke. Small
not a big bloke.
Rugby is for all shapes and sizes.
I've always said if you're big enough, okay, You're good enough. You know I've always said that.
Duncan Edwards on Twitter says, has the law changed about not joining them all in front of the ball? Twice Barrett ended up in front of George as he scored. In two of George's tries, looked like Barrett joined them all and slid in from in front of George to block defence.
Oh, yeah, an interesting one. No, the law hasn't changed, but Barrett, actually, I think, from memory, and it is memory because I was watching on the touchline, not with replays, but Barrett actually joined from the back. If you join roughly from the back and slip up and slip up to the side, you're all right. What you can't do is run up sort of three or four people in front of the ball and clamp on the side. But, you know, it's one of those things that you can just do, and it works the same way for both sides. You can just, as long as you're not flying forward way past the ball, you're going to get away with it. I got a question here from Craig Yandell. Remember Yando?
You know Pinhead.
Yando, Pinhead. A question from, he's actually put his name Pinhead on here. Serious question for a change, because Craig Yandell, for those of you that do remember, you'll know, is a bellend. And also, those of you who don't remember, he played for Sarries for years, La Rochelle, anyway.
Yes.
Great player, 9 feet tall, tiny head, hence Pinhead. I have recently been invited to a special boat service, aka SBS, boxing dinner, and I'm proper excited, as I only get to go to rugby dinners, and not often enough if anyone's looking for a table filler with limited chat. He's actually great on a dinner because he's massive, and when he gets pissed, he wobbles. So if he falls, big tree fall hard. This got me thinking, as you are wise in the world of dinners, what's the best non-rugby dinner you've been to, and are there any that you would like to be invited to you haven't been to yet?
I'd like to be invited on the Dunhill Links golf weekend / dinner.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just love golf and like all the big...
Do you really
big,
love golf, do you?
Yeah, all the big boys go there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, a lot of the dinners I go to are rugby dinners. Most of them are rugby dinners. All of them are rugby dinners. There's one I went to here, in the Celtic Manor, where you go online, you know, I think you can get rooms for £88 and a round of golf, something ridiculous like that. Get online, have a go. But there's one here for the co-op. The co-op had the co-op golf day here. And we all went downstairs into one of the rooms, the Carnarvon suite, for the dinner after. And on stage, they had all these different games for people from the table to interact with. So you had to pick someone from your table to go and do a rowing challenge. So there was 8 rowers on stage.
I remember you telling us about this.
And
actually,
there was 16 tables, so they did it in 2 lots.
Yeah.
And you had to row as far as you could for a minute in all your clobber.
Brutal, that.
Brutal, yeah.
In your formal wear.
Yeah, so I got...
I would hate that. I'd be sweating all night.
I sort of got... I got told I had to go up and do it from the table. So they all pointed at me because obviously in a shirt and jacket and trousers, I look in great nick.
Yeah.
And I went up there and I did a pretty decent job. I think I did something like 335 metres.
That's very good.
And I went for it as well. Properly went for it.
Very good.
And I thought, oh, that's good. So I won the points for the table then. Then they did another 8 then, so the remaining tables went up, and Paul Sculthorpe...
Scully.
...was there.
He would have been all right, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I was gutted, actually.
Yeah.
He did 350 metres.
Ooh, punchy.
I know.
He's long and strong, though, isn't he, Scully?
Yeah.
Never met him, I'd call him Scully.
So, yeah, he sort of did
actually,
me on
the gym the other day, we did this little rowing test.
But I'd given him a target.
I would have. And I'm not, as you know, mate, I'm not in great nick. I'm just getting back into the gym after a lazy summer. But how far you can row in 30 seconds... I think it was 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I think I did 200 metres in 30 seconds.
That's good, mate, that is. That's really good.
If anybody wants to go in it, I'm sure you'll all beat it. I don't know if that's any good or not.
But then they had other things downstairs as well. They had like a skip, they had skipping challenges, they had horse racing, you had to bet on horse racing. You had all these different challenges upstage for the table to join in. It was a fantastic idea.
Oh, good idea. Best dinners I've been to, the SBS dinner that Pin's going to, I've been to that a couple of times.
Have you?
It's massive money in the auction because people love the armed forces, special forces.
Yeah,
the auction is insane. Never seen anything like it. Insane. There's boxing.
It's not just armed forces in the audience, is it?
It's not just armed forces. No, it's like David Cameron goes to it.
Okay.
And like, I mean, they're a big.
You can take tables at it.
Yeah. There are loads and loads of big dogs there. People you recognise everywhere off the telly and politics and in entertainment and stuff because people love the special forces with good reason, but. And all the loads of the SF boys are there, so you just and they're just all piss heads. It's just really loose, really good crack. I was there a couple of years ago and I took a picture and said having a great time at the SPS dinner here, wherever it was, and I won't say where it was in case I get into trouble. And someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Is it Mr. Flatman?" I said, "Yeah, can you delete that tweet please?"
Really?
No, you're talking 10 minutes later. So someone there watched like delete that tweet for obvious reasons. I was like, it's really obvious when you say it. Sorry about that.
I got that at DIY SOS when I did it recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because it's not, yeah, don't know what's going on.
Trying to keep it secret.
But oops. Also, I went to an...
Oh, you got two of you?
Yeah, I went to Aspinall of London dinner at like a swanky members club in Mayfair about a year ago. And they said, do you want to bring a plus one? Can you bring an influencer? So it's an influencer's evening, right? So I took Tins. Tins in London. So it's 6 till 8 drinks reception and then 8 o'clock dinner in this club.
Yeah.
We got there at 10 to 8, bollocksed. So Tins arrived at my hotel and Tins can drink, right? He had, he doesn't drink all the time, so he hasn't got an issue. He'd had 3 bottles of rosé. I was like, I don't believe you. And he showed me the receipt. So 3 bottles, I've been sitting on my own. He's sending me pictures in this bar because I had a lunch that day as well. And he's like, hurry up, I'm on my
own. That's good drinking.
3 bottles of rosé, I'd be on the floor. Anyway, so he arrives at the hotel, we should get a couple of beers in. Yeah, we should go in a minute. Yeah, a couple more beers. We should go in a minute, a couple more beers. We got there twatted. And by the starter, to sum it up, by the end of the starter was like this chicken pancakey thing. And he was frisbeeing that down the table at David Gandy, the supermodel. That's the state of the night, right? And he also...
Did he go at Kylie Minogue?
He also, I don't know. He also threw one at Jennifer Aniston's ex...
Brad Pitt.
I forgot his name, not Brad Pitt. But anyway, look, and then he was playing Mercy, you know Mercy, with the female creative director of Aspinall of London, basically the owner.
Yeah.
And he went, so he basically knocked her off her chair onto the floor just after main course. It was absolute carnage. And then I get a text about 10 o'clock. It's just carnage and no one else is... Everyone's loving it, by the way.
I think I remember this dinner now.
I got a text from Ian Bolshaw saying, you in London, boy? I was like, yeah, I'm with Tins. We're here. And he arrived with a couple of other mates of ours. I remember sitting with David Gandy. I'll pick that up. And he was like, who are those boys? They look fucked. I was like, oh, that's bullshit. I was like, oh, this is Dave Gandy. He's like, all right, lad. And that was, he was just twatted. It was
properly dominated.
It was a brilliant night. And then the owner had his own, he has his own chauffeur-driven Bentley waiting out the front. We just nicked it. We wanted to lift back to the hotel, so we nicked it. We said, oh, Ian said we can have it. They're like, yeah, okay. Where are you staying? It's like Spearmint Rhino, actually. Yeah, it was great fun. Yeah. So there you go.
Just a quick one here from Mark Roberts. Flats, is Dyer young? I like the way he just asked you, Mark, you know, just tweet Flats then directly. Don't put it on Flats and Shanks. Is Dyer Young's job, and I know Dyer better than Flats. You know, he's my ex-coach. Is Dyer Young's job on the line after the last few weeks?
Nope.
Bad results? No.
Nope. They've lost their two most influential backs, their two most influential forwards, and they've lost a couple of games. So what?
Yeah, they're a different team without Cipriani and Nathan Hughes.
Nathan Hughes is amazing. Launchbury's amazing. Gopeth is fab. And Danny Cipriani, in terms of creativity and threat ball in hand, he is currently unrivaled in the Prem. I think he's brilliant.
Right, I think that's going to be the end of it now. Look, if you guys and girls, if you want to recommend anyone that you'd like to hear us interview...
Yeah.
Online, give us a shout, give us an idea of who
it's
you'd like
idea,
to for us to interview, because we're going to try and get someone next week.
Well,
don't
we
know
might.
Who, though.
We might.
No, we need someone next week.
Do
we're
we?
Have some, yeah, I reckon so.
I like it. It's just you and me. I don't like people.
You don't like outsiders, do you?
I don't like outsiders. No. Anyway, I've got to race off now because I'm taking my daughter to a posh hockey tournament, so my wife can scream and be that knob on the sideline.
Oh, nice! I'm off to watch Wales play football tonight against Republic of Ireland. Last qualifier.
Oh.
They win this. I think they're through to World Cup.
Come on, you Wales. Cool, I'll be cheering them on. Not half. I've been told, by the way, that a good tip for really pushy parents is to secretly film them and then show them the next day, show them what they were doing at the game.
Okay.
I'll do that with my missus, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. All right. It's all right then.
Take care.